Are you seeking fulfillment for your life? Do you want freedom from fear? That's why we're here. Welcome to Jesus 101, introducing you to the real Jesus. And now, here's your host, Elizabeth Talbot, with Mike Tucker.
I'm Mike Tucker.
I'm Elizabeth Talbot.
Three children fought over their father's rather sizable estate until the only thing that was left were three attorneys that had brand new Mercedes. And, you know, very often we'll see that where the heirs are unhappy with the distribution of the father's wealth, and so they will fight until the only thing that is left is wealthy attorneys. That happened in this particular case. The father would have been very sad to know how his children responded.
Yeah, and sometimes this happens because people lose sight of the bigger picture.
That's right.
What is it that is happening? Instead of being thankful that they are part of the picture,
that's right.
They start wanting more and more. And, you know, sometimes we get anxious about money and inheritance.
Yeah, my inheritance was good, but it should have been better. I should have more than you or something of that nature.
Yeah.
It's just kind of silly.
Yes, and today, actually, we're going to look at a parable that Jesus told when he discussed salvation and the fact that he gives it to us by grace through the death of his son, and how sometimes religious systems want to take over and say, no, we have a whole different plan, and
mm-hmm.
they fight between themselves for the inheritance.
That's right.
Like if you could monopolize
grace. Yeah, like we can control the kingdom of God, we can control his grace, and so we fight over that. How silly.
Yeah, you know, many times I've seen religious systems monopolize grace.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we don't want to hear about any other religious group, it's just us,
yeah.
You know, and here we have a parable about that. It's quite an interesting parable. So we're going to take you there, Matthew chapter 21, and we're going to start on verse 33, but we're going to just read only verse 33 to tell you something really interesting.
Okay, listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and went away on a journey.
Okay, it's very important that we pause here to take a look at the detailed description that we are given about this landowner.
Mm-hmm.
Not only does he have a vineyard, but he does very specific things to this vineyard.
He puts a wall around it to protect it, right?
That's right.
He digs a wine press.
In the middle of it. So he really has great plans for all the fruit
that's
going to come out of this vineyard. And on top of that, he builds a tower. He can oversee the whole vineyard from this tower.
That's right. He's going to protect it. He's watching over it.
But because he's going to go on a journey, he decides to rent this beloved, wonderful vineyard that he has put so much effort in. He's going to rent it out to some vine growers while he's gone.
That's right. They're going to take care of it for him. They receive their wages, and they're supposed to take care of this man's vineyard.
Now, what I want to tell you is what Matthew's audience heard when they heard this description, because this was a particular description about Israel itself.
That's right.
And actually so detailed that it's almost word by word. So
mm-hmm.
we're going to take you to the description of Israel that Jesus is actually quoting from in this verse. So that is the prophet Isaiah again.
Isaiah chapter 5, the Song of the Vineyard is what this is called.
That's right. This is another parable of the vineyard in Isaiah chapter 5. And this is where Jesus is quoting from when he describes the vineyard. So we're going to take you there, Isaiah chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 1 and 2.
I will sing for the one I love a song about his vineyard. My loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He dug it up and cleared it of stones and planted it with the choicest vines. He built a watchtower in it and cut out a wine press as well. Then he looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad fruit.
Okay, it's very important that we understand that Jesus is quoting from this description of Israel, because at the end of the parable, we're going to be told the people, the leaders of Israel, understood perfectly that he was talking about them. Because
mm-hmm.
look at the details on the description.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good vineyard. He looks at the choicest vine. Remember, he dug around it, and
That's
he
right.
built the tower, he built the wall. And so this is exactly the same vineyard that Jesus is talking about.
That's
it's
right.
not just a vineyard.
No.
It's actually Israel.
And the illustration of a vineyard was often used to describe Israel, God's chosen people, that nation that he set there for a particular purpose. They were to yield fruit for him.
That's right. So here, when we understand the context, that Jesus is actually saying, look, I have my people here, and I'm going to leave other people to work this vineyard, and I'm expecting great fruit.
That's right.
I'm expecting a great harvest. Mm-hmm. And the renters have only been given this for a little while.
Yeah, it's interesting. The vineyard belongs to who?
To God.
To God. And yeah. And these the people that are taking care of it are hired hands.
Yeah, it's very interesting because throughout the Bible, the people that take care of the religious groups take different forms. Sometimes
right.
they're the shepherd mm-hmm. of the people. In this case, they
the
are
vine
the
dressers.
Vine. That's right. In
that's
this case,
right.
they rent the vineyard and they're going to take care of the vineyard
right.
for the landowner.
That's right. And so he's provided everything necessary for the vineyard to grow and to prosper and to produce a good harvest.
And so we go back to the parable on chapter 21 of Matthew, and we started on verse 34 after the description of this vineyard. And so let's read verse 34.
34 is, it says this, "When the harvest time approached, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect his fruit. The tenants seized his servants. They beat one, killed another, and stoned a third."
I don't know if you have ever rented a place.
Yeah.
But when you send somebody to collect the rent, you wouldn't expect
no.
those people to treat your messenger that
no.
way. I mean, they should be thankful they have a place to be. And
that's
in this
right.
case, you know, the society was what we call a limited goods society. So people were very used to renting land
mm-hmm.
or renting places to grow their produce
mm-hmm.
because most of them could not actually own them.
Yeah, they couldn't afford to buy it.
So this was a practice that was really common in the
that's
first
right.
century Mediterranean culture.
Mm-hmm.
And so here, you know, this landowner sends these servants to get some of the produce because
right.
they're paying through produce.
That's
don't,
right.
don't forget the description of Israel. God is expecting great fruit.
That's right.
But they treat them very badly.
And then verse 36, "Then he sent other servants to them, more than the first time, and the tenants treated them the same way. Last of all, he sent his son to them. They will respect my son, he said."
Can you imagine the desperation of this landowner that
yeah.
keeps sending messengers, keeps sending somebody to say, hey, how's the fruit going? And all these people get killed by the renters.
That's right. Basically, they owe him something. He's given them the privilege of working this land. He said, here it is. All I ask for is a portion of the produce. You can use my land. You can use my vineyard. You can make yourselves wealthy, but I do ask for a portion of this.
Yes, and what is interesting about this is that eventually he says, I'm going to send my son. I mean, I'm sure that they understand that he's the real heir.
That's right.
I mean, he's the one that this vineyard really belongs to.
It belongs to him, not to them.
And here is the verse where I really get very passionate about this topic because
mm-hmm.
unfortunately I've seen many times when religious systems decide that they own it.
That's right.
That they own it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's many books out there that talk about the monopolizing of grace. When I tell you, hey, you're not going to get grace unless you believe exactly like me because I'm the owner of
That's
this
right.
message.
I own the vineyard, evidently. You know, I'm taking it away from God. I'm going to claim it. Verse 38, "But when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, this is the heir. Come, let's kill him and take his inheritance. So they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him."
And Jesus is saying, if you understand this parable, what do you think the owner of the vineyard is going to do when he comes? What is he going to do to those renters, the ones that were
mm-hmm.
supposed to be in charge
mm-hmm.
of the vineyard? And if the vineyard is Israel, the renters are the leaders of Israel, in this case, in the religious context,
mm-hmm.
that they are leading the people. And these people said to him, hey, we know what he's going to do. Verse 41.
"He will bring those wretches to a wretched end," they replied, "and he will rent the vineyard to other tenants who will give him his share of the crop at harvest time."
See, this is one of the verses that is not regularly found in the other Gospels where Matthew is saying, look, we are not doing our job as Israel. God is going to give it to whoever is going to produce groups. And many people see this the moment where the church changes hands to
mm-hmm.
everybody, not just Jews, but also Gentiles, when it becomes open and now the vine is much bigger than just one nation.
But you know what? There's still the tendency for religious groups today to think that they own the vine, that they own the vineyard, you know, and they have the right to say who gets in and who doesn't, and then we refuse to give God his due.
That's right. And so Jesus will say, look, the news of the gospel of the death of my death
mm-hmm.
can do two things. You either accept it in humility or you're proud, and
That's
look
right.
what's going to happen. So he talks to them about this prophecy on the cornerstone. You know, Jesus
mm-hmm.
is the cornerstone, and this prophecy is in Psalm 118. But let's talk about how he uses it in this parable, verse 40. 42.
Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone? The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes."
Then he said, I say to you, the kingdom of God is taken away from you and given to another people that are going to produce fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says this very strange little verse.
Yeah.
He who falls on the stone will be broken, but whomever it falls, it will scatter him like dust.
That's right.
Basically what this means is when you encounter the death of Jesus Christ, you can either be proud and mm-hmm. it will scatter you.
It will crush you.
That's right. Or you can be broken to pieces in the sense that you're going to be broken by the humility that you understand that this is the way of salvation.
You fall on the rock, you recognize your limitations, you humble yourself, and you receive the gracious gift that comes from God's hand. He wants to give you the produce of the vineyard.
That's right. It says here that the chief priest, on verse 45, understood
yeah.
that he was talking about them, and they tried to take him.
That's right.
So I want to tell you that if you have been a victim of some kind of monopoly,
mm-hmm.
this is not God's way. There's only one heir, and it's through Jesus Christ, and it's through his death that you are saved.
That's right. As religious leaders, we don't control the kingdom. It is controlled by Jesus, and he gives it to whomever comes to him and says, "Lord, I want your kingdom. Please remember me."
Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on Jesus 101. For more insights and resources, connect with us at Jesus101.tv. That's Jesus101.tv. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Jesus101Institute and follow us on Twitter at Jesus101Media. Until next time, live free.